So I am doing hexadecimal now. And remember the way hexadecimal works. It is a base 16. So actually I'm going to go down to the chat.
Oh, you just... I just got there. Sorry.
So, here is my chart of hexadecimal. It goes 0 to 9. And then it goes to A, B, C, D, E, and F.
Don't you mean A to F?
Don't I mean what?
Don't you mean A to F? Because that would, like, you're, like, wouldn't you just say A to F? That way you're just saying
no,
A.
No, because it goes 0 to F.
Okay.
Okay. So, it's base 16, which means there are 16 digits. And the 16 digits run from 0 to F. Okay, so there are 16 digits, and the 16 digits run from 0 to F. Now, the reason that hexadecimal is important is this. Any set of 4 binary digits can be represented with 1 hexadecimal. And any hexadecimal can be represented with 4 binary. So they work together, okay? And that's why hexadecimal was chosen, okay? So, and remember the, in binary, 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. In decimal, 9 plus 1 is 1, 0. In hex, F plus 1 is 1, 0. So in all numbering systems, the highest digit in that numbering system, plus 1, takes you over to 1, 0. So in binary, the highest digit is 1. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. In decimal, the highest digit is 9. So, nine plus one is 1, 0, and in hex, F is the highest digit, so F plus 1 is 1, 0. Someday this cough will go away. And in other numbering systems, the same way, octal is a numbering system that has digits 0 through 7. Octal is base 8, and so 7 plus 1 is 1, 0, because octal has digits that go 0 to 7. So in all numbering systems, the highest digit, plus 1, is going to be equal to 1, 0. Okay. So... Now we're going to look at hexadecimal. There we go. Actually, there we are. Okay, so if I want to convert a number, if I have a hexadecimal number, and in this case I have 8359, so I want to convert 8359 to decimal, and this is the answer that I came up with down here. Okay, so in order to do that, I have to put in the positional values, 16 to the 0, 16 to the first, 16 squared, 16 cubed. And 16 to the first has a value of 1. 16 to the first is 16. 16 squared is 256. And 16 cubed is 4096. Okay. Now to convert, I have to do face value times positional value. So I have 8359. Is what I want to convert. So I put it up there. Okay. So then I start doing the calculations. And as you can see over there, it's A times 16 cubed, which is really A times 4096. So A times 16 cubed. The A can be changed over to 10 for my calculation, because an A is 10 ones, because 9 plus 1 is A in hexadecimal. And then when I get to B, it's one more than that, and C is one more. So A is equivalent to 10. So that is 10 times 4096, which is equal to 40960. Then I have to say, okay, 3 times 16 squared, which is equal to 3 times 256, which comes out to be 768. Then I say 5 times 16 to the zero, onto the first power. Which is 5 times 16, which is equal to 80. And then I say 9 times 16 to the zero, which is equal to 9 times 1, which is equal to 9. And I add those up, and I've got 41817 in decimal. So that is equal to 41817 in decimal. And how I do it is face value times positional value. Face value times positional value. And go in and do that. Okay. So, try converting BCD. So let's say I have BCD in hexadecimal, and I want to know what that is in decimal. Pens again. This is when you pull out a calculator. And you can check your answer by doing the programming version on the calculator. But for now,
just use it to do things like multiply 256 by whatever you need to multiply it by. Anybody got an answer? Yeah.
3,021.
3,021?
I think that may be right. I don't
remember. Anybody else got 3,021? You did? Okay, so you've got a lot of votes. Okay, so the first thing I do is a B is an 11, right? If A is a 10, B is an 11. C is a 12, D is a 13, okay? E is a 14, F is a 15. So I'm multiplying 256 by 11. Stop me if I do the math wrong at some point. So now I've got 16, and I want to multiply that by 12. So that's 32 and 16 is 192. And now I've got 13 times 1 is 13. So I want to add up 2816, 192, and 13. Okay, so 3 and 2 is 5, and 6 is 11. Put down the 1, carry the 1. 2, carry the 1. 0, carry the 1. 3, 0, 2, 1. Okay? So that's how I can convert. Questions? Okay, the next one talks about now that you've got, if you've got it in decimal, how do you convert to hex? And these are mainly just to get you a little bit comfortable with hex. Okay, so I'm going to take the answer to the one that I had done on the board up there a few minutes ago, which was 41817. Okay, so a few minutes ago we converted A359 to 41817. Now we're going to go backwards and say, okay, if I get 41817 in decimal, how do I convert that over? Okay, so the first thing I do is I need to know the powers of 16. And so I just wrote those down. And the 16 to the fourth power is too big to subtract from 41817. So I can't use that. So therefore, I'm going to have 16 to the 0 power, which is 1, 16 to the first, 16 squared, 16 cubed. And what I want to do is find out how many 4,096s I can subtract from 41817. Okay, because I'm starting out with 41817. And I want
want to know how many 16s I can, I mean 4,096s I can subtract from that. And it looks to be 10. Okay, if I kind of guesstimate and look at it, it looks to be 10. So 10 would be 40960. And I'm going to do a subtract there. And I'm getting 757, right? 7857. So I've got 857. I use 10 of them. I use 10. So I put down an A, because in hexadecimal, 10 is an A. So I put down the A. Then I say, okay, how many 256s can I take? How many 256s can I take? Pardon me?
Three
256s, because just looking at 250, four 250s would be 1,000, so that's too big. Two 250s would be 500, that looks a little small. Okay? So 256 times 3. So I'm going to say, okay, 256 times 3. 8 carry the 1, 6 carry the 1, 7. So I've got 768. Okay? And that leaves me with what? 89, right? So that leaves me with 89, and I use 3 of the 256s. How many 16s can I take from 89?
5.
16 times 5 is 80. So I am going to do, so I'm going to subtract 80, which is 5 times 16, and I'm going to put the 5 up there. And that leaves me 9 left over. And how many 1s can I subtract from 9?
9.
So it puts the 9 up there. So that's how I can convert from decimal back to hexadecimal. Okay? So try that with the BCD that we did a minute ago. 3021, you're going to convert 3021 back, and you know what answer you should be getting. Yeah, 3021. So 3021. In decimal, I want to convert to hex. See right away that I don't need 16 to the third, because 4,096 is greater than 3,021. So I don't need that. So my next thing is, how many 256s can I subtract? Okay, if I were doing this, I'd probably look at it quickly and say, oh, I can do at least 10. So that means subtract 2560 and see what's left. So that's one way of doing it, is I say I'm going to subtract 2560. And that's going to give me 163, right? No, 4.
then I say, wait a minute, I can use another one. So I can do another subtract. Okay, 2. I can do another subtract. So this tells me that 11 is how many I can subtract. Okay, so I could have figured it out right up front, but if I just decide I'm going to subtract 10 of them, and then I say, wait a minute, 461 is bigger than 256, so I can subtract one more. So that means that I have 11 of them, and 11 is a B. Then I have the 16 left, and I have to do that, so keep going. Again, I lots of times play around with easy numbers. So I might say, well, I know it's going to be at least 10. So I'll subtract 160, and that leaves me with 45. So how many 16s can I take out of 45? I can't take 3.
12.
That's too many. So, right. But so I can take 2 more. So this was 10. And then I can take 2 more, which leaves me with 13. So these 2 mean I 12, and then I've got a C, which is a 12. And then I've got 13 left, and 13 is a D, so I put the D up there, because 13 is a D. So I play around with them a lot, if I don't feel like getting my calculator out, and come up with the answers. Okay. So that's converting back and forth between decimal and hexadecimal. Okay. The thing that I actually want to spend the most time on is ASCII code. So we're going to look at that next. Are people comfortable with this, or do you want to try another one?
Can we try another one?
Yep. Okay, so let's take 555 in decimal and see what that is in hex. And again, we're always working with this. Thank you.
Wait a minute, I meant to go the other way. Yeah, I did. I wrote the wrong number, didn't I?
See what you came up with. I actually meant to go from 16 to open to 10. So let's see what you come up with, depending on how you did it. I actually, when I wrote the numbers up here, I meant to go from hex over to decimal. I wrote the wrong thing. But putting the numbers up like that. And then we'll try another one where I don't goof up. So this is 1280, right? 5 times 256 plus 80 plus 5. Let me try another one where I don't write the wrong thing. And this one will do 1 hexadecimal character in there so that I'm sure I am knowing what I'm doing as opposed to going the other way. And remember, if you go back to the handout, this is the way that you do it. Anybody got an answer? You look like you do.
623.
Anybody agree? Anybody buy on a 623? You had it wrong?
Yep.
Okay, then don't buy on the 623. Yeah, no, that's why, as I said, when you do this, then go to the calculator, the programming aspect of the calculator, and check it. Okay, so I've got here 2 times 256, right?
That was right.
That was right?
Yeah.
Which is 512. And then I've got 6 times 16, which is what?
That's 96.
96. And 1F times 1, which is?
15.
15. So that's 8, 13, 2, 623, is that what you said?
Okay.
So you added wrong the last time, not the first time you did it.
Because, in hexadecimal, it was 1 through 9 and it just goes to F.
So A is 10, B is 11, C is 12, D is 13, E is 14, F is 15.
Okay.
So then if I want to flip this one back, I say, okay, so 623, how many 256s can I take from that? Okay, I can only take two, which is 512. And I have 111 left. And then I say, okay, 111, how many 16s can I take from that? And we said 96. And so that leaves me 15. So how many ones can I take from 15?
15.
15, that leaves me zero. Okay, so the 15 is the F. Okay. And this is 2, and this is 6, and this is F, so 26F. Okay? Okay, now we are going to start talking about computer codes. So I'm going back to my handout, and the thing I want you to pick is where I say reference for ASCII 2. Okay, so that's what you're going to pick. And I already have it open, so there it is. That's my reference for ASCII 2. So ASCII is a computer code where 8 bits make a byte. Okay? So, I have here, I'm going to look for the letter A. And notice that A can be represented with a hexadecimal 41. A is a hexadecimal 41. Capital A is, yes. Capital A is a hexadecimal 41. Okay, so I need to take a picture of that and then we'll go play with that fact. So, ASCII code. 8 bits. Equal a byte. Okay, so ASCII is 8 bits in a byte. Equal a byte. There we go. Okay. So I went to the chart and I found out that A is equal to a 41 in hex. Okay. So what they decided was 8 binary bits, if you want to get a dump of memory, 8, what's actually there, 8 binary bits is going to be a real pain in the neck when every character is 8 binary bits and they're all next to each other and trying to figure out where it stops and where it starts. So they decided that since there are 8 bits, if they divide it in half, then 4 binary bits can be represented with 1 hexadecimal character. And 1 hexadecimal character can be represented with 4 binary bits. So they said, okay, hexadecimal will work for us. So the 4 can be represented here by turning on the 4 and turning off these other things. And the 1 can be represented over here this way. So the 4-1 is represented that way. So that is the binary code for an A.
Okay, and A is a 0100001. If you go back and look, a B is 42. So a B would be
zero.
What?
0100001 0.
Right. Okay, because the first characters represent the 4 and the next 4 characters represent the 2. Okay, so 42 is, there's the 4, there's the 2. Okay, C is 43, which means it's 0100011. Because I've just got to make it a 3. Okay. Go look up Z. What's Z?
Um, 132.
No, I want the hex.
5A.
So what's 5A? What's the 5, first of all? Yes, but I want 4 digits, so what is it? That's right. 0101. And what's the A?
A is 10.
Okay, A is 10, so what do you turn on to make a 10?
1010.
Because 8, okay, if I have 5A, the 5 is 0101, because I'm turning on the 4 and the 1. The A is turn on the 8 and the 2, right? Because 8 and 2 make 10, so I'm turning on the 8 and the 2, and I turn the rest off. Okay? So what do we see as a pattern over here? All of these have what for the first 3 characters? Look at the binary. What's the first 3 characters? The leftmost 3 characters?
0.
The leftmost 3, these.
0, 1, 0.
Do they all have 0, 1, 0 at the beginning?
Yes.
Yeah. So 0, 1, 0 tells me that it's a capital letter. Okay, 0, 1, 0 tells me it's a capital letter because all the capital letters have a 0, 1, 0 at the beginning. Now comes the tricky part. I have 26 letters of the alphabet. I can't represent 26 in 4 bits, right? Most I can represent in 4 bits is 15. So they decided to grab 5 characters to tell which it is. So if I look at the 5A, for example, this tells me it is a capital. And now I go 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, because I grabbed the 5. 16 is turned on, 8 is turned on, that's 24. 2 is turned on, that's 26. This is the 26th letter. And therefore, it's the Z. Okay, it's a Z because it's the 26th letter. If you look at it up here, the first 3 tell me it's a capital. The next 5 tell me which. And so I have 16. So
So I'm using 16, 8, 4, 2, and 1. And what's turned on?
1.
Just the 1. So that tells me A is which one? It's the first letter. And therefore, it's an A. Okay? Does that make sense? So, when I dump memory, I divide it in half and get the hexadecimal to dump out of memory. But when I actually, when they sat down and constructed how the code worked, they said there's 26 letters, I need 5 bits. But the other 3 will be enough to tell what category it is. And so the first 3 are gonna tell me the category. And the last 5 are telling me which. Actually, the first 2 is, I think, enough. But the first 3 tell me the category. And the last 5 tell me which. Okay. So if you go and look up, let's look up P. Okay, so I'm looking up P, and P is a 50. Okay. So P is a 50. So I start out and I say, okay, P equals a 50. Okay. So if I want to work with the hex, I say 0101, and the 0 is 0000. Okay, so that's what it is. Now, if somebody had just given me the 50 as opposed to the P, I can figure out what letter it is. Because I go and I say, the first 3 tells me it's a capital. And then I've got 16, 8, 4, 2, 1. And the 16 is turned on. So I know it is the 16th letter. And then the only way I know how to figure out what the 16th letter is using my fingers. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. P is the 16th one. So I now know it's the letter P, if I hadn't known it before. Okay. So now let's look at, we know that A, capital A, was a 41. Which was a 01000001. Go look up what a lowercase a is. So lowercase a is a 61, okay, which means a 6 is what?
0110.
Okay, 1, 2, 2, and 4 is turned on.
Yeah.
And 1 is 0001. Okay, now if I look up a P, we know that P is 0100. What's a lowercase p? Go look up a lowercase p.
7, 8.
I'm gonna try to write 7, that 0. A little more. So a lowercase p is 70. Okay, so a 70 would be what?
0.
That's right, 4, 2, and 1 are on. 4, 2, and 1 make 7. and then zero is all zeros. Okay. So, looking at the comparison between these two, what tells me that it's a lowercase as opposed to an uppercase?
011.
Okay. So, the 011 here at the beginning tell me it's lowercase. Okay, 011. That goes in there. 011. The last five tell me which one it is. Okay. So the which one it is are the same, whether it's upper or lower case. It's just the beginning. Okay. So 010 is uppercase, and 011 is lowercase. But the five characters are the same, whether it is upper or lowercase, right? Okay. So the last five characters tell me which it is, and the first three tell me the category. Is it uppercase? Is it lowercase? What is the category is? If you go look at the numbers are all 31, 32, 33, that sort of thing. So if you go look at numbers, you can see that the number 1 is 31. Okay, so the number 1 is the numbers. The number 1 is 31. Those 3s at the beginning are all telling me numbers, or as you can see, the 3s can also stand for special characters. Okay. Okay, so we've got a variety of ways to look at this. The letter A can be represented in hex with a 41. You can also look at that chart and get the decimal. So the letter A is also a 65 in decimal. Okay, see that it's a 65 in decimal. And it's also a 65 in decimal. Well, to do the hex, we have a 4 and a 1, so we write 0100 for the 4. And we write 0001 for the 1, right? And that tells me what the A is. If I have the decimal, then I do it a little bit differently. I go all the way up, 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128. Okay. And a 64 means I turn, a 65 means I turn on 64 and I turn on 1. Because 1 and 64 make 65. And then I put zeros every place else. But notice that I came up with whether I converted by hex or whether I converted the decimal, I came up with the same answer of 01000001. Okay. So I can either convert back and forth in hex or back and forth in decimal. Okay, if I'm given this configuration and I want to go to the decimal, I put the numbers underneath it, say 64 is turned on, 1 is turned on, so it's a 65. Okay. So A is a 41, and A is also a 65. Okay. Okay. This is hex. Tell me what that is in word. Tell me the letters. This is in hex.
Is this going to be, this is all capitals, right?
Yeah, you don't know yet. You don't know yet. All you know is that you can figure out the binary from the hex, and then you can figure out whether they're capitals or not. And 41 we know is an A. Because we did that enough times. Okay, so on every one of these, I sat down and I did the hexadecimal to binary. So I did the hexadecimal to binary. And then once I got the binary, I said the first three characters are telling me it's a capital letter. The last five characters are telling me which one. And the last five characters on 5A added up to 26 rather. So I know that it is a Z. On the next one, I did the binary, the 4 and the 5. Capital is the first three. The last five had a 4 and a 1 turned on, which told me it was the fifth letter, which was an E. Mm-hmm. The next one, there was just the 2 turned on, which told me it was the second. On the next one, I had the 16 and the 2 turned on, which told me it was the 18th letter. And using my fingers, I came up with the fact that that's an R. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So you always put a 0 at the beginning?
You always have to have 8 bits. And so anything that doesn't have leading zeros at the beginning, you put them in to make 4 bits. Okay, I've got to turn the first hex character into 4 bits, and I got to turn the second hex character into 4 bits. And leaving zeros is how I can do that. Okay? Because I got to have the 4 bits. All right, did anybody come up with this on their own?
Yes.
Yeah? Did it make sense?
2 letters, and then I realized that the last one was 41, and eliminated all the words.
Right. 41 eliminates easily the words, yes. Okay, if I give you dog. I want it in everything. Okay, so let's do dog. And I want to see what it would be in binary, what it would be in hex, and what it would be in decimal. So let's try them all. And those are all uppercase, so once I know they're all uppercase, I can go directly to the binary. So what's the binary for a D?
The binary for D is 0, 1, 0, 0.
What?
100.
Okay, so these first three I put in because I knew it was a capital. The next ones are... $16, $8, $4, $2, and $1. I know the D is the fourth letter. So the fourth letter means I've got to turn on the four. Because it's the fourth letter. Okay. O is what letter? And what is G?
It's
seven. But that's stuff I know. I have to, if I'm just given the letter and asked to convert to binary, I gotta know what the categories stand for. So I gotta know that 010 is capitals. Okay. Otherwise, if I'm giving the hex of the binary, I can go and do the whole thing. But if I'm just given the letter and I don't know what the beginning part is, then I have to know. I have to figure that out. I have to go check someplace. So what's the hex for this one? Some brave soul, what's the hex?
44.
44. Okay, because I've got 0100, I draw the line there. So that's a 4, and 01000 is another 4. Okay, what's the decimal? Turn on what one? I got to turn on the 4 and I've got to turn on the 64, right? I know what the binary is and I can see two ones there. So it is 68. And then you can go back over here to the chat and look up D and check it. 44, 68. So we did it right. And what's O? Yeah, what's the O in binary? Come on, somebody, so.
0100111.
0100, say that again?
0.
Okay.
And then 1.
Because it's the 15th letter, right? So the 15th letter means I turn on 1, 2, 4, 8, but I don't turn on 16. 8, 4, 2, and 1 make 15. So knowing it's the 15th letter, I can do it that way. And then what's the hex for that?
4F.
And what's the decimal for it?
15.
I'm going to turn on the 16 and the 8, 4, 2, and 1, right? So I got 64 plus...
79.
Pardon me?
64 plus 15, right?
70. Yeah.
Yep.
And then what about the G? What's a G? It's the seventh one. So what do you turn on?
Four, two, and one.
So eight's off, 4, 2, and 1 are on. Okay. 16, 8, 4, 2, and 1. So those are on. So what's the hex?
The hex is 47.
47, and what's the binary?
0, 0, 1, 0.
Oh, I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't mean what's the binary to, I meant what's the decimal?
71.
Okay, 64 plus 4 is 68, 2 is 70, 1 is 71. So this is the decimal. Okay. So that's dog in all areas. So if I'm given the binary, I can figure out the hex, I can figure out the decimal, and then knowing the rules of binary, I can figure out the letter. Okay? Questions? Okay. I will post an assignment to let you experiment with this. Now, next Thursday, we're going to start with Visual Basic. And so I'm going to introduce a little bit of that now and have you find it. So, what I want you to do back again the same day. If you go into the CIS software here, okay, and then pick Visual Studio 2015. It is free through DreamSpark, and you can also go online, and I will put up the address because I don't remember it. But you can also go online in the Visual at Microsoft. They have a version that you can download for free. Or you can get it through DreamSpark. Okay, DreamSpark has the complete version, if that's what you want. So, I go into Visual Studio, and that's not what I wanted it to do. Back up a little bit, please. Okay, toolbox I'll make go away because I don't think that's on your screen. That's what I think will come up. I played with it in the other class. Okay, so the first thing that you have to do is you have to pick that you want to do a new project. Okay, so it's going to come up and we'll do this next Thursday. But if you want to download it and look at it, this is the way it works. So you click on it and you click on New Project. And the first thing that it makes you do once you've picked on New Project is tell it what language you're going to be working in. And Visual Basic is highlighted. If it's not, you need to highlight it because we're going to be doing Visual Basic. So you have to highlight it and tell it it's Visual Basic. The other thing you're going to do is tell it that you want to do the Windows Form application. So you're going to, if that isn't highlighted, you're going to highlight that as well. Okay, both of them are highlighted, so I don't have to do anything. But you want Visual Studio, Visual Basic, and then Windows Form application. Then down here at the bottom, it tells you where you can store it. and I chose to store it on my F drive. Okay, and you should choose to store it either on a flash drive or on your N drive so that you have it. So you want to do that and store it either on your N drive or on a flash drive. Over here under Browse, it says create a directory for the solution. And you want to make sure that's checked so that it creates its own folder for each problem you're doing. It makes life a lot easier because it puts stuff in your folder. And when you pass it in to me, you've got to zip up your folder and send me the zipped version of the folder. And if it's spread out as opposed to in a folder, then it's just going to be harder to do that. If it's in a folder, then you just zip up the folder and send it, and it's very easy. Then you come up with a name for it. Okay, so mine, or whatever, you just come up with a name for it. And you put that name in, and that means I'm going to have a Visual Basic program of that name. And the folder will have that name. And then I click OK, and it takes its time, but eventually it will come up. Okay, so what it comes up with in here is a form. And that form is what you're going to use to put things on. And if you go over to the side over here where it says Toolbox, and you click on Toolbox. Okay, so come over here and click on Toolbox. And if it didn't come up All Windows Forms, you want to click on All Windows Forms. If somebody else was sitting in your seat last class, it came up this way. If they weren't, it probably came up All Closed. So you want to click on All Windows Form. And then see this little pin up here? If you click on the little pin, it anchors it. And so now it is anchored and you can see it and get to it. So I can drag things over to my form. So for example, I'm going to go down and find a text box and grab that over. So that text box can be used the same way you use prompts in JavaScript. You can ask the user to type something into the text box. And so if I was calculating pay, I could have two text boxes, one where they enter hours worked and another text box where they enter pay per hour. So I'm gathering data that way in the same general way that I did it in Visual Basic, in JavaScript. Then I can also go over here and drag over a button. So there's the button. And so I just dragged over a button. And the button can be clicked. And when I click the button, it will go into the form, behind the scenes on the form, and it will be where I can put code. So there is button one click. I click the button. And now I can write code inside here to tell it what I want to do. So I can do it like I do in JavaScript and say answer equals hours worked times pay per hour. And it would do the calculation. And then I can tell it what to do, where to display it, have another text box to display it in. But I put the code here, and the code gets activated when I click on the button. Now, the nice thing about Visual Basic is it tells you about your errors. It tells you where your errors are. So it's just a lot easier to fix, okay, because it's much more user-friendly, at least at the beginning level. When it gets to a certain level, then the messages sometimes are, what? But on the whole, it's easier to work with. So we're going to start looking at this Thursday. If you want to download it, I will put up the address. I'll remember to put up the address tonight, hopefully. If not, I'm sure I'll do it tomorrow morning. And you can download those kind of developer easy version. Why don't you wait till I finish, okay? So, that is it. You can bring it and download it, and we will start it on Thursday. Now I'm finished. Mm-hmm. Yep, it's just not. You will make an alarm noise.